Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Our podcast today is number 1096. Our topic is mindset, and the title is, If You Don't Like It, Change It. Now that sounds simple, and I recognize that most people, if they are very cynical to the title, they're not even going to have listened to the podcast. But what I wanted to do today was just talk about ways in which I've seen clients and myself over the years kind of change the way we think about a situation or change the way we're approaching the situation or even just communicate about the change that we need in a situation and how that has helped them just improve aspects of their life that they had believed were outside of their control. I think we all deal with aspects of life that are stressful, they're negative, they're not what we want. And often we can feel stuck. We don't know what to do about it. We don't think there is anything we can do about it. We just have to quote unquote live through it. And most often there is something we can actually do. It's very rare that there is literally no thing you can do to make it any different. And since this is the only life we get to live that we're aware of, it's worth trying. It's worth at least experimenting, figuring it out. You know, you don't get to try this again. You don't get a do-over. So make this one count. Make it more positive things. And a lot of the times there's some things we can do about the way we think, and there's ways we can communicate to others what we need. So I want to start off with some low-level ones, get up to a little bit more complex ones, and then leave you with some thoughts that you can use that might help you if you're facing this type of a situation. So if there are aspects we don't like about our life, can we change it, or at least can we change the way we think about it? One thing that we all have to deal with is just household chores. We have to do laundry. We have to cook food. We have to clean up the food that we cooked. We have to shop for the food we want to cook. Oh my gosh, everything. So endless amounts of things. What can we do to enjoy those better? I've talked about it before, so that's why I said this is low level. So stay with me. It's going to get more complex. It's going to get more kind of like quote unquote real world applicable or deeper. But if we're looking at these things, what can we do to enjoy them better? That's when I typically listen to podcasts or I'll listen to audiobooks. Whenever like I have to fold clothes, sometimes Meredith and I will do that together and we can just kind of talk. I get to ask her about her day and she gets to ask me about mine. We just talk about life. Maybe I'll even put on some music. I'll put on some Motown or some funk or something, and then I just dance like a goofball and makes her laugh. But we just try to enjoy it if we're together. If I'm by myself, I'll listen to a podcast, an audiobook. I'll try to make the time more useful in the sense to where if I'm cooking or if I'm cleaning up dishes or if I'm cleaning the house, if I'm doing laundry, they're not very mentally active activities. It doesn't require full brain cells, hopefully not. So I can devote some towards listening to a podcast or an audiobook. So that's something I like to do. I listen to podcasts on various topics, and I listen to audiobooks. Typically, everything I pick is, it would be a religious one for me. Like, that's my choice every day. I like to kind of connect with my religion. And then I also listen to self-help books, just try to become a better person. I listen to business books, try to be better at business. And then, really, that's it. I'm a pretty boring person. But there's endless amounts of stuff in those categories, so it keeps me busy. But that's pretty much all I listen to. But you might listen to fantasy books or whatever the hell else people listen to. So maybe that's what you're into, but that's something you can at least do to kind of enjoy that time. What about like a commute to work? I'm very blessed. I only have an 8-minute commute to work. I have had longer commutes. Commutes to work. I've had longer commute times. I think that'd probably be better English. But what I used to do in that was the same thing as I'd listen to podcasts or audiobooks. I would either take time to eat. So that's often when I'd eat breakfast is when I was driving. So I'd make something quick, like I've mentioned before about a bagel sandwich. I'll just toast a bagel, get out some lunch meat, slice of cheese when the bagel's done toasting, put the lunch meat and the cheese in it, smush it together, walk out the door, and eat it while I'm in my car. So I use that as time to eat. I don't typically call people on the phone, but that would be a good time to call a friend. So if you're more extroverted, if you like people, you can call a friend. And that's a good way to use that time If you're coming home from work, you could practice doing brain dumps or gratitude kind of journaling to try to be in a more happy mind state when you get home. I think that helps a lot if we live with other people, and even if you live with yourself. It's good to leave any kind of negativity outside the house as much as you can. So doing some brain dumps, saying, okay, I'm going to do an audio brain dump, or like, for example, on my phone, I have a notes feature that can, you can just do a voice to text. So maybe I'll say, you know, things to do tomorrow, and I'll list them off. And then I know that it's written down. I know that it's recorded. I'll just save that note, and tomorrow morning I'll look at it. But I don't have to carry that weight with me as I go throughout the evening trying to spend time with my loved ones. You can also do gratefulness. That helps you kind of get in a better mindset. Say, man, freaking hated my job today, but I love the paycheck. I'm happy I have something that helps me make money, that I can do some things I love. And you try to find things. You know, maybe you have a nice coworker. You're like, eh, you know, boss is a jerk, but I like seeing so-and-so every day. So try to find things that can make you happy. I've listened to... You can listen to audiobooks about stand-up comedy if you want. You know, you can just do things that kind of lighten your mood, and that's a good way to use a commute. One of the things that's more specific to me, but starting to kind of get branch out into other things, one of the things that used to make me insanely mad all the time was when equipment was out of place in the gym. So I've owned this gym, Brutal Iron Gym, now for 10 years. And when I first, it's my creation. Well, obviously through a ton of help from my parents and some other loved ones and really good friends, but it's basically what I created. I had to lay every one of these mats. I had to drive up to Washington, D.C. from Rock Hill, South Carolina to get the mats, bought all the equipment, had to drive around everywhere. So thank you to Ned, and thank you to Mac and Aaron and all the people who've helped me over the years. But had to do all of this, had to go through all the effort, go through all the work, had to pay for all of it. So whenever I'd see people misusing the equipment or leaving stuff around, it would tick me off, you know? And it definitely made me more aware of why my parents were mad when I'd just jam my foot in a brand new pair of sneakers when I was younger. They're like, damn it, anyhow, we're just paying, you know, $60-$80 for a pair of shoes, and now you're just smushing the heel of the shoe down right away. So I understand that now. But that was something that would get me pretty angry. And what I did was I had to decide, what do I do with that? Do I just walk around, you know, pissed off all the time, which is definitely not a healthy state, and it's not a very welcoming state for anybody around me. So that's not the environment that I would want people to feel like they have to train in, where this guy walks around grumpy all the time and picking up after them. So I made it a rule in the gym. I try to make sure that anytime somebody joins, that's one of the first things I say. The very first rule is do not interrupt me while I'm training. This is where I get to work out if people leave me alone, so please leave me the hell alone. You can talk to me 23 other hours of the day, but don't talk to me that hour. The second rule is pick up your shit. So if you use it, pick it up. It's your responsibility. And then we have some other rules. But I made it a rule. I make sure that I tell everybody that when they join. If I see somebody who kind of chronically leaves things out of place, I'll shoot them a message or a text, or I'll say it when I see them in person. You know, I try to speak up for what I need, you know, setting boundaries with people, setting expectations, being clear about what I need them to do. And often, you know, it's people make some random mistakes here and there. It's typically not somebody who's just a total jerk and leaves things out of place all the time. It's they got talking to a friend, so they forgot to unload a piece of equipment. Or, you know, they were doing two or three things, they kind of forgot a set of clips over, you know, in this part. So it's really small things. And what I had to kind of just realize was, if I went to any gym, I would have to deal with equipment being out of place. I remember I went to a gym down in Anderson, South Carolina, to help a friend, and we were trying to work out, and I couldn't find any 10-pound plates because all the plates were scattered and ridiculous. So I yelled really loudly, and I said, does anybody have any damn 10-pound plates? My friend was very embarrassed, and but it was, I was just pissed. Like, it was ridiculous. So you go to like one machine, and on one peg there's a 5, a 45, a 10, another 45, a 25, and then you need to get in there to get that 5-pound plate. It's ridiculous. So it would frustrate the crap out of me if I went anywhere. And when I do travel, I do have to go to other gyms, and it is annoying as hell. I don't like having to clean up somebody else's mess in order to get to my workout. But I recognize that if I have to do that here, it's always to a way lesser degree. Our membership is freaking awesome. And other than a few odds and ends, it's usually kept pretty well. So it's less cleanup than anywhere else I'd ever go. And if I can recognize that this is something you have to do everywhere. I'd have to clean up some equipment everywhere. But at least at this place, it's less than everywhere else. And I get all the other perks. I own the place. So I get to buy the equipment I want. I get to kind of train whenever I want. I get kind of first dibs on things. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, benefits to this. I get to set the temperature in the room because it's connected to my bank account. So there's a lot of things that are the perks of being able to own the gym. If one of the negatives is I have to clean up some equipment every now and then, it still frustrates me. It really does. But way, way, way less. And I'm learning to get a better perspective over it. So that's something that I can't change. Can't kick everyone out of the gym, because then why the hell would I even own the gym? It's not helping anybody. So that's, you know, that defeats the purpose. But I can change the way I think about it. So I can clearly communicate what makes me happy and ask people to play along. And I can also think about it in maybe a different way. And that change of perspective can help me better accept what I'm going through. And I'm about to get to some more demanding things here, so it's not like woe is me that I have to clean up plates. But this is kind of setting the grounds for what we would have to do when we're trying to think of how to adjust to something in our life. We adjust our mindset, and we clearly communicate what we need if there's another person involved. So, for example, I have a client that they're trying to establish healthy habits in their life. And they've been doing it off and on, but they're trying to be more serious about it and, you know, really kind of get it to be a regular way of life. Part of the trouble, though, is they have odd work schedule. So they have to go to bed at 8:30 at night to be able to get up at 4:30. So if they go to bed a little bit late, it's not the end of the world, but if they go to bed too late, they don't get a lot of room to sleep in, and it causes a lot of fatigue. Because they're trying to exercise on a regular basis. They're trying to work, you know, 10-hour shifts. They're trying to do a lot of things in their life. They're trying to be the best they can be. And they need to go to bed at 8:30. Well, they have kids. And I think they're, like, if I had to take a guess, I'd say that somewhere between, like, 14 and 24. But they would randomly have before gotten text messages about different things or people asking or needing things when they're trying to go to bed. So if they want to be in bed at 8:30, that means around 8 o'clock, they really don't want people texting them. They don't want somebody calling them. They don't want somebody sending them an email. They don't want somebody, you know, knocking on the door trying to get in the room to ask them questions. They need to set some boundaries. They need to say, this is what I need for me to be my best. And it's not wrong. If they need to go to bed at 8:30 and they need people to stop communicating with them at 8 p.m., they would have the whole damn day to be able to talk to them before 8 p.m. So it's not like they're saying, you can never talk to me, just please don't talk to me at this time. So they had to communicate what their needs were and give clear instructions. So if we're asking somebody to change for us, hey, can you be more mindful of when I need to go to bed? That's great, but that's insanely vague. What the hell does more mindful mean? To you, you know what you meant. But what did they believe more mindful means? If you say, please don't contact me after 8 p.m., then that's pretty damn clear. Please don't text me. Please don't send an email. If it's an emergency, sure, I can help. But make sure it's a damn emergency. Now, people can say, it's like, why don't you just put your phone on silent? This person can't. They have an aging parent that has a health issue, and they have kids. I mean, you know, you're not going to want to put your phone on silent just in case your kid really does need you. So they want to have availability, but only in emergency. So they have to clearly communicate that. As they've been able to do that, they've been able to get better sleep, and their life quality is improving. What about somebody who hates their job? I have a client, actually, who hates their job, and they're kind of afraid to quit. They're afraid to change because they make decent money. They're burned out. They're tired of it. They had a switchover in management and stuff, and they don't really like their bosses. They don't like the way things are done right now. So what we were focusing on was, since they make good money, what do they do with that money? Do they set anything to look forward to? So we were talking about trying to set like 8 to 12 kind of week financial rewards. Meaning, okay, I'll work for 8 weeks so I can go do this. Now, we've talked about the kind of the benefit of experiences over expenditures. So trying to have memories over material. things. So they had, when we first started this, they had 8 weeks to look forward to. They went on a trip, a hiking trip with some friends. They got to buy a rucking pack, and they bought shoes, so that was something they could do because they work this job. They can afford to do that. So they went on a weekend trip. I think they left on like a Friday after work, drove somewhere, hiked with their friends, you know, and stayed like Friday night and Saturday night in this log cabin thing and had a great time. They enjoyed themselves. And that's something that gave them at work something to look forward to. It gave them a reward that work made possible. And then the second trip they had, like, was actually a trip to Vegas. So they took 8 weeks to save up, you know, save their money and just use that as something to motivate them and look forward to. They wouldn't have been able to fly to Vegas if they wouldn't have had this job. So we've been talking about, okay, you're burned out at this job. You don't really like the management, but you're not quite ready to leave. Until that comes, let's think about some ways in which we can enjoy where we're at. So we've been doing that. That's actually helped them a lot. They haven't even mentioned how much they hate their job recently, so that's great. And then, you know, if need be, they can apply to other places. They can kind of, you know, see what other options are out there. But this is something that they can do with their mindset and actions they can take that will change how they're viewing and experiencing their job. So it's a little more endurable when they know they can get something from it. Another client, they are having struggles right now with, we'll just leave it to, say, scheduling conflicts. Let's leave it at that. And which means they can't always get to the gym the way they want. They had a set routine the way they used to do things all the time, and now that got, like, kind of blown to bits. And what they're doing is, as we talked about, was one of the challenges is if they believed if they couldn't get to the gym to work out, there was no point in working out. And I was like, well, what the hell? Like, you can do, like, bodyweight workouts. And they're like, what is that really going to do? You know, that's useless. And this is somebody who works for strength. Like, they're a powerlifting athlete. So they have very good bodyweight strength. They have very good kind of balance. They don't really care about cardio. So we're trying to think of, okay, how can they make their at-home workouts more useful, more impactful? Well, we said talking about making some challenges. So don't just do a home workout. Do something that's hard. So they had some old rinky-dink equipment sitting around. One of them was the bar. So I told him one workout, I said, can you squat a bar about 500 times? And they're like, probably. And I was like, well, do it. And then we talked about when I was younger, on my 15th birthday, I didn't like the way I looked. I was chubby and fat and weak and skinny, no muscle. So just all the bad things. And I took on a goal of doing 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups every day. My belief was that the push-ups would build my chest and the sit-ups would lose the belly fat. I had no clue that food was necessary to build muscle and that you couldn't lose fat in only one area. So it was total fresh newbie, didn't know nothing. So I just thought 250 push-ups, 250 sit-ups every single day, I'll look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Boom, done. So I actually was pretty successful. From my 15th birthday to my 16th birthday, I only missed 10 days. And this was a kid who couldn't even do 20 push-ups in a row. And I killed me to do 20 sit-ups in a row. So you're talking about me needing to do 15 to 20 sets of push-ups to get to 250 push-ups. 15 to 20 sets of sit-ups to get to 250 sit-ups. And I did that every damn day for a year, except for 10 days. So I challenged them. I said, do you think you could do 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups? How fast can you do it? And they're like, well, you know, I'm pretty strong. I can definitely do 250 push-ups and 250 sit-ups. I said, sure, but how fast can you do it? So we set a timer, and they challenged themselves to see how fast they could do it. And then they came back, and they told me the number, and I was like, that's great. I want you to beat that. And they're like, damn it. So we were talking about ways in which to make their workouts at home more kind of quote-unquote hardcore or have challenges to them. It's not that, like, they had previously thought workouts at home were just going through the motions of bodyweight stuff. So we set some challenges. We set some parameters. We made it more impactful. So that way they would be more excited to do it. Turned out they were actually really freaking sore from this push-ups and sit-ups because they normally never did high reps like that. So it was actually like something they found fun, and they were annoyed that it actually hurt them as bad as it did. So it was kind of a fun kind of challenge. But when we're faced with aspects of life we don't like, some things we can kind of ask ourselves, some things we can think through is, is how I'm thinking of this issue part of the problem? If I'm always negative towards it, is that negativity preventing me from being more creative to find solutions? Do I just want to sit in my anger and blame other people, blame the world, blame life? Or do I want to make some change? You can't create positive outcomes from a negative mindset. So if I'm always negative about the problem, why would I expect a positive kind of expectation, a positive answer to just fall in my lap? You know, if I'm like, oh, this is bullshit, this is ridiculous, I can't believe I have to do this, this is so freaking stupid, I hate this crap. How do you think the idea of how to adjust for that is just going to pop in your head? It won't. You're thinking negative, 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 negative. You're thinking, here's this object, here's this object. You're just banging your head against the wall of this object, of this stress issue. To find a change, you have to look around. You have to look to your left, look to your right, look up, look down. You have to look for it. You can't do that if you're in a hyper-focused negative mindset. So if you're thinking about the problem as always negative, it's going to be very impossible, very hard for you to find a positive outcome, a positive change, a positive difference. You have to start to look for a different viewpoint. Can I think differently about the way I think about this? Can I try to find a different perspective? Is there a way in which I can kind of endure this for the benefit of someone else? Is there a way that I can think about this in just some type of different way that allows me to think differently? So I talked about like the gym. I used to come in and I'd see equipment out of place and I'd be like, oh, people are ungrateful and, you know, people are so lazy nowadays and blah, 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 blah. And that's not true. People are freaking awesome. So, and I knew that, but we all get into those little like stupid mindsets all the time and get in this negative hole that we just keep digging and digging and digging until we're burying ourselves inside the damn thing. We can't throw the dirt out of the hole anymore. It's just coming back down and burying us. So I had to think about like, okay, you know, there's some equipment to put away. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody leaves something out. So I've had the gym now for 10 years and I think like 7 or 8 months. And I have made 10 mistakes that I know of about leaving equipment out of place. So I've made a mistake a year. Pretty damn good track record there. But even I have made mistakes. So I know it is surprising, but I'm not perfect. But that's what I have to remind myself, is I even make mistakes. You know, that's the thing that I think of that pisses me off, and I'm ultra aware of it, and I even mess it up. So people are going to make mistakes. When you get 40, 50, 60, you know, 70, 80 people coming through a building, you know, and half the people make one mistake, that's a shitload of mistakes to clean up. But that's normal. That's just the way life goes. So I had to realize was that's going to happen. At least at this place, it happens to way of a less degree. And I'd have to deal with it anywhere else. And this place, once it's dealt with, I still own the place. I still get to buy the equipment I want. I still get to do what I want to do. So there are so many perks to this being my gym and this being where I train beyond just having to, you know, like all those perks, all those benefits shouldn't be negated by me having to pick up one or two things. So next morning, for example, I came in and on one of our machines, there are supposed to be 5 10-pound plates on each side of the machine. There were 14 10-pound plates on one side. I was like, for the love of God, who the hell would need 14 plates in one location, like 14 10-pound plates? What the hell were you doing? And why the hell did you put them on? So I still get into that. But as I'm mumbling, I just put the plates back and I move on and I'm okay with it. But it's just something about, can we change the way we think about things? Can I think about it in a little bit of a different way? If I need someone to change, have I communicated that to them? Am I just mad at them because I expect them to know or I expect them to be better, but I've never told them that? So I'm just mad at them. They wonder why our communication is strained or why there's no communication at all. But they don't know. If they knew, you could talk about the subject, right? You could talk about what's going on. Or they would maybe bring it up and say, hey, sorry that happened. Or, hey, is that what's pissing you off? But if they don't know, they don't know. And if you don't tell them, they don't know. So you're just going to live angry and mad, and no one's going to get any better from it. You stay angry and mad, they stay confused, the relationship is crap, and you waste the rest of your life being angry, frustrated, and mad. Who's winning in that scenario? No one. So you need to communicate how you feel and ask for a specific change. And you say, well, what happens if they get mad when I tell them what I need? So? Does them getting potentially mad, does that more important, or is that more impactful, or does that negate the need for you to not be mad all the time? If you bring it up to them and they're frustrated, they're disappointed, they're angry, maybe they snippy a little bit, but at least there's now awareness and possibility for change. If you don't tell them, nothing changes. You stay angry, you stay hurt, you stay worse quality of life. That's pretty damn stupid. You know that won't change. It would have changed already if it could have changed. If you bring it up, they get mad, you have a chance to talk through it. At least there's a possibility for change. Why would you accept no change than rather try for change? This is your one life. This is the rest of your life. This is it. Do you want to live angry and pissed off and sad and frustrated? I'd hope not. Certainly not when it's not 100% necessary. You don't know if that's necessary yet. Talk to the person. See if you can make a change. Clearly communicate what change you would need. Maybe even talk through what their point of view is, and maybe you can find something in the middle. Maybe you can change a little bit too. Maybe there's something they haven't communicated that they're frustrated with, and that's causing the actions that they're taking. So, we need to think, can I think differently about this? Is the way I'm thinking part of the problem? Can I communicate with other people and ask for specific change? And is there anything I can change about my actions to accommodate this? So a lot of times I've had clients tell me, you know, there's no time to work out. And I said, get up earlier. They're like, what? And really, if you're responsible for other people in life, if other people in life need your time, get up before they do and get some me time. If you wait till the end of the day to have your own time, you're going to do nothing useful. You're going to be too damn tired, too mentally exhausted. You're going to watch Netflix and do jack shit. Get up early. Have a fresh you to do what's most important for you. Yeah, will you be tired? Yes. Do you have to get up early every day? No. Maybe just 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 4 times a week. Maybe you get up early on Monday, Tuesday, sleep in on Wednesday, get up early Thursday and Friday, then crush the weekend with whatever you got to do. But if you are responsible to other people and you believe that other people get in your way, get up before they do. Think through other things. Are there ways you can change your actions to make the change you want? Don't put it all on somebody else. Can you change? Can you change the way you think? Can you change the way you act? Can you change the way you communicate? If you don't like it, change it. Cool. Well, I hope that resonated a little bit, gave you some ideas or some actions you can follow through with. I want to present, we've talked about a CBD product named Stello Mints in podcast number 1080, then I believe 1082 and 1084. I wanted to revisit that because it's something that can help with kind of just lowering stress or dealing with stress. If you don't know much about CBD supplements or the benefits of CBD, you can go to podcast 1080. It's titled The Benefits of CBD Supplements. And I talked about the experience of getting to try these CBD mints. And my wife, Meredith, her experience using like CBD oil, which is just CBD products in general. They're a great way to kind of calm stress during your day and kind of calm the mental aspect of anxiety and uneasiness. So we know sometimes trouble getting to bed is you're just kind of restless. There's restless physically, and then there's restless mentally. CBD products can help kind of calm you down mentally. So I want to present this to you because they have an option for us, for the listeners, to get a 20% discount on their supplement, which is CBD mints. Just basically a mint that has CBD in it. I got to use it. My wife used it, Meredith, and my mom actually used it to address some restless leg syndrome that she's had for 20 years, I believe. So I talked about that in deeper details in podcast 1080. Benefits of CBD supplements. So you can go back in the podcast platform you're on, back to that podcast, or you can Google search Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 1080 benefits of CBD supplements. But if you're trying to figure out how to like cope better with the stress of life and maybe the stress of work, and it's negatively impacting your overall mindset, negatively impacting sleep, that's what something like a CBD product can help with. And Stelo Mints is an awesome opportunity to try that. It's a fast and easy way to kind of get that kind of calm and clear-minded feeling. It's a little bit, it's a lot easier than oils. Typically, oils, you have to have like a dropper and you have to like pull out a certain amount, then drop it in your tongue and hold it for 90 seconds and do all these odds and ends. With the mints, you just pop them in and it's pretty easy. So if you've never used a CBD supplement, this is an awesome way to get to the opportunity and to get the opportunity at a discount. So they sell the mints in tins, and each tin has 30 mints, and it comes in peppermint, lemon, and matcha. So my family, we actually used the peppermint, and it was great. There was actually no negative aftertaste other than like a typical CBD supplement, and the peppermint was actually really good, so tastes good, so that was cool. If you want to try the mints, you can get them, like as I said, like 20% off at their website, which is Stelo Mints, S-T-E-L-L-O mints.com, so M-I-T-S so stelomints.com, and you can use the code BRUTAL, B-R-U-T-A-L, to get that 20% discount. So if you're struggling with stress, if you're struggling with feeling overwhelmed, and you want to use some of the mind things we talked about today, but also get some supplemental help, that CBD product at a discount is going to be a pretty cool way for you to try those if you've never tried that before. Cool. Well, I hope this podcast was helpful in some way. If you need any help at all, if you need help kind of changing the way you're thinking of something, you know, tell me your story, tell me what you're struggling with, and I'll help you try to think of a new way to think of it. Cool. If you need anything at all, email us brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like today's podcast, if you think our podcast in general is helpful, please share it. There has been people that have been sharing the podcast. That's freaking badass. Thank you so much. Especially James. Thank you, James. So shout out. But I really appreciate it. It's bringing more listeners. The podcast is continuing to grow. We've been downloaded in all 50 states of the United States. And we've been in over 30 countries across the world, which is insane to say that. That just sounds weird, but freaking awesome. So thank you to everyone who's listening everywhere. I really, truly hope that this podcast is something that's helpful for you. So please, if there's anything at all that you want to know more about, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I promise I'll make a podcast for you. Cool. Well, thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people financially support the podcast through the Podbean platform and through the donations link on our Instagram page. So thank you very much for that as well. And that's it. So if you like the information presented in the podcast, you can find more from us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.